The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Don't ever belittle yourself. Even if other people do it, don't you buy into it and agree with them. You say, no, I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am a new creature, and I don't care what I've done in the past. I have got a good future in front of me, and I am not going to miss it.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
You know, there is no doubt that our past shapes who we are. And we can get stuck there, reliving our pain over and over, or we can make another choice. Let me introduce you to a sweet friend of mine from Paris. Listen to what Melina had to say about the most difficult time in her life.
Et je devais la subir. C'était une haine quotidienne. Une haine quotidienne. Je méditais même le meurtre de mon agresseur.
Well, I love Melina's honesty, and I think a lot of us can relate to feeling that way at one point or another in our life. But thank God, Melina's story does not end there. She asked the question that so many of us ask, how do I let go of the pain of my past? This is a great question for Joyce to tackle because she has certainly been there herself, and she understands how difficult it can be. She also knows that you can let go and discover the life that Jesus wants you to have. Today, she answers that question. How do I let go of the pain of my past?
You know, you need to be determined that you're going to enjoy your life. I mean, really just dug in determined that you are going to enjoy your life. And let me tell you, enjoying your life is not about what you own. It is not about what you own. There are a lot of miserable rich people in the world. It's not about whether you're married or not. It's not about having perfect children or even having the perfect marriage. Enjoying your life is about knowing who you are in Christ. Because I'll tell you what, if you've got it right inside, then you can pretty much handle anything on the outside. But if it's not right on the inside, you can't even handle little things that come against you. On the outside. Everything is like the straw that broke the camel's back when you're all messed up inside. God loves newness. We have an opportunity for a new beginning. I think when the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, I think that means that we become new spiritual clay. You know, if somebody is bald, they don't grow new hair because they were born again. I mean, if somebody's 30 pounds overweight, they don't wake up skinny because they were born again. But we're made new inside. We have a brand new opportunity. And then if we let what's in us help us, it can help us with all those other outside things. You know, the Bible says that all things are possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. But I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. It doesn't say that all things are positively going to happen with God. And I think sometimes we think because there's a promise in the Word that no matter what we do, we should just, well, I believe that, I should have that. Well, you know, true believing provokes obedience. And so when God says, whosoever will can have the promises, that all of these good things are for whosoever will, it doesn't just mean whosoever has some kind of a mental assent, well, yeah, I believe God wants me to have a good life, so therefore I should have a good life. No, it means I believe God wants me to have a good life, and He's going to show me how to get there, and I'm going to take steps of faith. Now listen to me, and don't get discouraged when I say this, and it's going to take time, and it's probably going to take more time than I thought it was going to take. And it may be harder than I thought it would be. And it may cost me a few things in my life. But I am determined that I am going to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus died to take hold of me. And if he died for me to enjoy my life, then I am not going to go around with my head hanging down being miserable all the time because every little thing in my life is not exactly the way that I would like it to be. Amen. We don't just float around on the glory cloud singing the hallelujah chorus because we're saved. I mean, we've got real lives with real hurt and real pain and real needs and some real ugly people sometimes that are not very pleasant to deal with. But Paul said, I am determined to know him and the power of his resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while I'm still in this body. Now, Paul was talking about a resurrection power where you can have an absolutely, really enjoyable life, even though everything in your life maybe is not going exactly the way that you would like it to go. We have to learn how to work with the Holy Spirit. God's got a good plan for us. We have an opportunity for a new beginning. We become new spiritual clay for the Holy Spirit to work with. But we must learn how to yield. That's a beautiful word. Yield. I'm really starting to like that word a lot. We have to learn how to yield. Instead of being resistant, we have to learn how to surrender. Instead of being stubborn. Come on. Romans 6:13 says this, and I love it. Do not continue offering or yielding, there's our word again, your bodily members and faculties to sin as instruments and tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourselves to God as though you've been raised from the dead to perpetual life and your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. Now, I love that. Do you know, how many of you know what it's like to be tempted to sin? Okay. So how many of you know that what it's like to resist it? And then how many of you know what it's like to just, well, you just yield to it. You just get it. Okay. Well, you know what? The same as we have been tempted to sin, once you have a relationship with God, you are tempted to do right things. Sometimes I'm tempted to give something away and I fight it off. Well, honestly, I don't do that much anymore because I know better now. But I went through that for years and years and years. God would ask me to give something away. You know, you got three coats and somebody else is freezing and you know. Yeah, I read that scripture, but if you got two coats and somebody else has none, give them one. But God, I like both of those coats, and I wouldn't know. I don't know which one of those coats to give away. And besides that, that lazy person, they ought to work and get their own coat. And, you know, so. You're tempted to go and apologize to somebody. Because you know that you said things you shouldn't have said or did things you shouldn't have done. But instead of taking the temptation to do the right thing. So just as we were tempted to wickedness, God now tempts us to righteousness. And we just need to learn to yield to the righteousness and resist the bad stuff. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 16. Talks about the agreement that God has made with his people. And this is the agreement, the testament, the covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their heart, and I will inscribe them upon their minds and on their inmost thoughts and understanding. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law breakings, I will remember no more. I will remember no more. Now watch this. Because this is, I think, what I'm going to share in the next few minutes is important. Now, where there is absolute remission, forgiveness, and cancellation of the penalty of these sins and law breakings, there is no longer any offering made to atone for sin. So now here's what we need to get out of this and be able to apply to our practical life. When Jesus paid the price for our sins, it was such a precious and a complete gift that there's never any more offering that needs to be made for sin. We don't have to. So let me just give you some examples. Like, when I do something wrong and I ask God to forgive me and I receive that forgiveness, then I don't need to feel guilty. And that's the hardest thing for us to get through our heads, because we think we should at least beat on ourselves for a few days and think how wretched we are. I mean, it's really challenging to just receive God's forgiveness and then just go on. But Jesus said, the Bible says there's no longer any penalty that you can pay. And here's what I've learned. I learned this from my life, and maybe some of you will resonate with this. I think that when we have not done things right in the past, or maybe you did some really terrible things in your past. You know, maybe you've had some really terrible things done to you in your past. But there's no, you no longer, if you've received Christ, you no longer have to be penalized for that or try to keep paying for that. And what I did for a lot of years was, even though I believed in the forgiveness of God, I just felt bad about myself all the time. I took my sack of guilt everywhere that I went. And I say this and it sounds funny, but it's true. I didn't feel right if I didn't feel wrong. I mean, I got so accustomed to feeling wrong and to feeling guilty about something that when I really started understanding that I didn't have to pay for my mistakes, it just felt wrong. It's like, it's wrong to just feel this good. And then it took me a while to really get it, that it was okay.
Practical application, that's what it's all about, right? Well, Joyce can do it, so you can too. And remember Melina from the beginning of the show? What happened to Melina? Let's let her tell us herself.
And what was your childhood like? Tell me about your family.
Je suis née au Gabon et ma mère m'a eue alors qu'elle n'avait que 19 ans. Ça a été assez difficile pour elle. Mon père nous a abandonné ma mère quand elle est tombée enceinte et du coup elle a dû être. Ça a été très dur pour elle pour pouvoir vivre pour tous les jours parce que du coup elle avait 19 ans. Beaucoup de difficultés et d'isolement. En Afrique, quand vous avez un enfant et que vous n'êtes pas marié, c'est pas comme en France.
How did that impact the way that you felt about yourself as a young girl?
Quand j'étais en Afrique, pas tellement. Mais quand j'ai eu 5 ans, on est venu en France. Et c'est là vraiment où j'ai ressenti l'absence du père.
Why was it more difficult?
Quand je suis arrivée en France, on arrive dans les classes et vous avez une liste. Sur cette liste, on vous demande votre nom, le prénom, le nom des parents, la mère, du père. Et je n'avais jamais posé la question si j'avais un père. Et quand j'ai dit dans la classe, je n'ai pas de père, tout le monde a rigolé. Et quand je suis rentrée, j'ai demandé à ma mère, mais c'est qui mon père? Et il est où? Mon père, on m'a dit qu'il n'avait pas épousé ma mère parce qu'il devait servir Jésus. Et ça a créé vraiment une douleur en moi et une colère contre Jésus.
After hearing that, how did you feel about God in general?
Je ne l'aimais pas. Je le détestais. Quand on est arrivé en France, ça a déjà été difficile. Et après, j'ai été victime d'abus. J'ai été abusée de mes 8 ans jusqu'à mes 13 ans. Et ma relation avec Dieu a été encore plus éloignée, plus difficile. Ma mère me disait, Dieu est amour, Dieu crée la vie, Dieu est pardon, Jésus t'aime. Il y avait une telle différence avec ce que je vivais et ce qu'elle me décrivait que je me disais, il n'existe pas, c'est pas possible.
Where did you direct that anger? Who were you even mad at during that time in your life?
Je l'ai dirigé contre Dieu qui m'avait donné la vie alors que je ne voulais pas. Parce que je ne voulais pas de cette vie, j'ai rien demandé et je devais la subir. C'était une haine quotidienne, une haine quotidienne. Je méditais même le meurtre de mon agresseur. C'était très dur à porter, surtout quand vous êtes très jeune. Quand j'ai eu 13 ans, j'ai tenu tête à mon agresseur. Et je lui ai dit, tu me toucheras plus. Tu peux me tuer, mais tu ne me toucheras plus. Je n'avais plus peur de la mort parce que je disais, je préfère mourir que de subir ça encore. Personne ne savait. Un jour, j'ai eu le courage d'en parler et les gens ont réagi contre moi. Et c'est là où j'ai compris que les gens préfèrent un doux mensonge à une cruelle réalité. Face à l'orgueil, les gens ne voient pas la douleur, ils voient juste le caractère, l'apparence. C'est très dur de ne jamais pouvoir être soi. De mensonge en mensonge, on se perd, on ne sait plus qui on est.
What was the breaking point for you? When did you know you had to have a major change in your life?
J'avais médité de mettre fin à mes jours. J'avais préparé mon suicide. J'avais l'heure, j'avais le lieu. J'avais déjà fait deux tentatives qui avaient échoué. Au moment où j'allais me suicider, mettre fin à mes jours, je me suis souvenue de ce que me disait ma mère. Elle me disait, ceux qui se suicident doivent rendre compte à Dieu de la vie qu'il leur a prêtée ici-bas. Et là, je me suis dit, Jésus, si tu existes, c'est maintenant ou c'est jamais. Il fallait quelque chose de plus grand que moi pour faire cette œuvre, pour m'aider à vivre un jour de plus, parce que de moi-même, c'était pas possible.
How real was God for you at that moment? After so many years of hating him, what was he like for you in that moment?
Ah oui, il est venu comme un père qui prend sa fille dans les bras et qui lui dit, je t'aime. Et j'ai senti tout cet amour et toute ma haine, comme si ma haine sortait et que je ressentais un flot d'amour. C'était super.
Your background is very much like Joyce's background, what you both went through. I know that hearing her testimony, hearing what God has brought her through, has encouraged you. Tell me how that's helped you in your journey.
Elle est vraie. Dans tout ce qu'elle dit, elle est vraie. Et elle a confirmé beaucoup de choses que j'avais reçues. Beaucoup de choses que, en toute simplicité, il n'y a pas de masque. Elle parle au cœur directement et elle dit la vérité. Il y a des choses dans la parole, dans la Bible, qui sont difficiles quand on a été blessé, comme le pardon. Mais quand on a quelqu'un en face qui a réussi à vivre ce que la parole dit, ça nous encourage à persévérer. Et c'est pourquoi je me dis, je veux encourager d'autres personnes aussi à leur dire s'il l'a fait pour elle, s'il l'a fait pour moi, il le fera pour toi.
Nothing that God gives us to do is insignificant. Did you hear me? The devil always wants to make us feel little. Little. When David's brothers came to him, when he went out to the battlefield and they didn't really want him there because they knew he had been anointed to be king and they were jealous of that. They said, well, with whom have you left those few sheep? They wanted to belittle him. They wanted to make him feel little. And you know, we don't have time to go to all these places, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God purposely chooses. No, we are going to go there. For simply consider your own call, brethren. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards. Not many of you were influential and powerful. Not many of you were of high and noble birth. No, for God, not, please get this, for God selected, deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame, and what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. And God also selected, deliberately chose, what in the world is lowborn and insignificant and branded and treated with contempt, even the things that are nothing, that he might depose and bring to nothing the things that are, so that no mortal man should have pretense for glorying in the presence of God. God uses what the world would throw away as trash. Did you hear me? Don't ever belittle yourself. Even if other people do it, don't you buy into it and agree with them. You say, no, I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am a new creature, and I don't care what I've done in the past. I have got a good future in front of me, and I am not going to miss it. You know, I say this all the time. Please get this. I had a lousy start in life. I mean, a really sad, painful beginning. But I'm having a good finish. Amen. And that same thing is available to every one of you. Not a positively, but a possibility. If you'll learn the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit guide your life. You know, we've been trying to convey to people when we do give people an opportunity to receive Christ in our meetings. And a while back I said, you know, I'm just concerned that a lot of people think they just can kind of get Jesus and tack him onto their messes and he's going to fix them all up and they can just go on and live however they want to live. Because we see too much of that. And let me tell you, when you're truly born again, there should be a change. And I mean a pretty radical change. I don't mean perfection, but there should be a change. And we should be changing all the time and growing and becoming more Christ-like. And I think sometimes the thing that we miss is that, yes, you can receive Christ. That's all you need to be, have your sins forgiven, believe that Jesus died for your sins. But in order to have the life he wants you to live, you need to be willing to yield and surrender to him. You need to be willing to also give him the keys to your life. I don't care how smart you think you are not smart enough to run your own life. And I just think maybe I should just address our television viewers for just a minute. Maybe we got some real smart people out there. Maybe some professors, or maybe you got a string of degrees behind your name a mile long, and you might be thinking, lady, who do you think you are to try to tell me anything? Well, my life's working. How's yours? I'm pretty happy. Woo-hoo! Mary was at the foot of the cross. Disciples were all hiding. She was there. Mary was at the empty tomb. Boys were still in bed. Mary was there, bright and early. Well, women got the first opportunity to preach the first gospel message. You say, well, where's that in the Bible, sister? Well, what do you think was happening when the angel that was inside the empty tomb said to the two Marys, go and tell my disciples he is risen? Mary didn't give up when the going got rough. She got up early and went to find her Savior. She was on the travel team. I'll tell you what. It didn't matter what she had been. And it doesn't matter what you have been. And it doesn't matter what I have been. And it doesn't matter what those of you watching by TV have been. Your history is not your destiny. God has got a destiny for you. And all you have to do is get unstuck. Tonight you need to say, I am getting unstuck. I am coming out of that dead place, and I'm going to live a resurrection life with Jesus Christ. Come on, give God a big praise. Amen.
Well, the pain that you've experienced is real, and I think that's really important for you to realize that it matters. It's important. But as we yield and surrender our lives to Christ, we can let go of that pain and place it safely in God's hands and see our life bloom into what He wants it to be and what you want it to be. It's an important process, and it can happen for you. We want to help you, and Joyce has a great book that I love. It's called You Can Begin Again. This book is full of inspiring stories of people in the Bible and God's Word who completely needed their life to be healed because of the pain in their past. And this will also encourage you that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, you can begin again. So pick up this book today. It will help you. We also encourage you to inspire other people with your story. You can do it on Facebook and Twitter. We've got a few people who've been doing that. We want to share some of their comments with you right now. Sherry from Florida says, I too grew up with an angry father. She's talking to Joyce here. Hearing your testimony was a turning point for me. I forgave him, accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and have been a whole new person in Christ. Sherry, that is awesome. Thank you. Chennai says, I was changed and blessed by the 30-30 challenge. Our 30-30 challenge is something where we can help you get into God's Word by spending 30 minutes a day for 30 days studying the Bible. She says, I am a new person. It has changed my way of thinking. I have increased my knowledge and understanding of the Word. I have set aside time for studying every day, and it has improved my prayer life tremendously. Thank you so much for telling us that. And if you want to find out more about the 30-30 Challenge, give it a try. You can get it online at joycemeyer.org. Well, we want you to tell us this week how God has helped you forgive someone who hurt you. You can encourage other people. It's a big step in getting over the pain of your past. And be right here next time with us as Joyce answers the question, how do I overcome guilt? Guilt can be so big in our lives, so be here with us then. And as we say goodbye, just an encouragement to help someone else today discover the answer in their life by something as simple as a smile that can change everything for you and for them. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.